My name is Ashaya Ramsey. I am a student at UNCW, and today I am doing an interview with Mr. Raphael, and he will tell me a little bit about his life, and this is for the project Somos, North Carolina. Okay, Mr. Raphael, I'll let you start. Just tell me about your life in Puerto Rico, that's okay.
Well, first of all, you got to understand the history of Puerto Rico.
Yes, sir.
Back in 1898, the Americans captured it and took it over for themselves during the Spanish-American War. Mm-hmm. Okay? They let Cuba decide what they wanted to do with it. They let the Philippines decide what they wanted to do with it. And then they held on to a couple other islands in the Pacific. But in the Caribbean, just like the Spaniards did, they saw Puerto Rico as a stepping stone, as a gateway, as a path to protecting the Caribbean, okay? And they had, during that time, too, talks of the Suez Canal had been built. So again, this was a shorter route between the Atlantic and the Pacific where you didn't have to go around South America. You can cut right through. So the United States was eyeing that. Mm-hmm. To protect that. So that's how we get started in Puerto Rico after 400 years of being subjugated to Spanish rule. All of a sudden, we were under another colonizer, another imperialistic country that took over us. Yes. Even though we were granted sovereignty about a month or so before the Americans landed, mm-hmm. Spain had cut us loose and said, "You guys are on your own." Unfortunately, since that case, that's why another reason it gave the Americans an easy way to come in and just take over the island with very little resistance. Mm-hmm. All right, so that gets started there. So Puerto Rico turns over to the United States in 1898. We were pretty much ruled by a military government. Things started to change. And just let me bring up at that point, Puerto Rico was 50% black and 50% white. It was quite an even stretch, all right, before that started. Slaves had always been around and people had always come over, and the population was very well evenly matched on that aspect. All right, those years, pretty much on the first beginning of the 20th century, were kind of tumultuous. People didn't know what to do. They had the what's called the Americanos, or the gringos, as the Mexicans call them. Take over the island, they establish a provincial government, they did all these things. But then World War I comes around, right? And in 1917, they granted Puerto Ricans citizenship. We became American citizens in 1917 so that our men could go fight in World War I. I have a great uncle who fought in World War I. And I also come from a very military background, mm-hmm. okay? So that happened back in 1970. We become citizens, and Puerto Rico pretty much still gets ruled by a provincial American government, by governors and people and such, and they started to exploit our land. The main crop was sugar, mm-hmm. all right? We had coffee there, plantation. We had pineapple companies there, it was pretty much taking over the whole sugar plantation. The whole island pretty much got divided up into four major sugar plantations took over, and the main crop was sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that pretty much gives you a foundation where we're at. Right. So I was born in 1950, right after World War II. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm 75 years old. Already? Exactly. And your last question that you got down on the paper, what's something people are often surprised to learn about you?
Yes, sir.
That I'm 75 years old. You were surprised, right?
Yeah.
I tell people my family found the secret to the fountain of youth.
I'm gonna need
it's in a bottle of rum. It's in a bottle of rum. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. I told that to everybody. Alrighty. So you asked me, your first question was actually, what was it like to be born in Old San Juan? Well, first of all, you got to know that my parents, a little bit of background about my parents. Okay. My father had enlisted in the United States Army the day right after Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. Him and his buddies And I just like about 100 other young men in the whole United States and their playhouse, they went and they joined the war. Mm-hmm. My father is from the southern part of the island, southwest part of the island. He's from Guanica. Okay, and Guanica was the place where the Americans landed in 1898 to take over the island. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the town that my father lived in was one of those large plantation sugar mills. It was a sugar mill. And my grandfather was one of the engineers to keeping the I'm going to say molinos, which is grinders, mm-hmm. to crush down the sugar into liquid to make it the plantation. He was in charge of that. And we had a house out there. So my father goes to the army, and he meets up with my mother in Old San Juan. My mother's from Old San Juan. Mm-hmm. She did her high school there. And my grandfather, her father, was a bill collector for a reputable club at mm-hmm. the time. And he was a musician, all right? So the first 5 years, and then the other thing about me at those time is that I was born in what is today the Cultural Institute of Puerto Rico. That building in Old San Juan used to be the hospital for what was called Fort Brooke. Mm-hmm. And that is at the tip of El Morro, San Felipe, the Castillo, the big fortress. You've seen that fortress that's out there in San Juan? You haven't seen the fortress. It's a huge fortress, all right? It's at the tip of the mouth of the Bay of San Juan, mm-hmm. all right? And right behind that is Old San Juan, all right? So the army took over the fort and took over and made it into a base. And I was born at that hospital, along with my sister, who came along a year after I did. So basically, the first 5 years of my life, I was, I received lots of love. Mm-hmm. I received lots of care, mm-hmm. lots of attention. I pretty much got spoiled because I'm going to say this phrase in Spanish, el negrito favorito. Sí. Favorite, okay, you got the, yeah. The nice N-word. Negrito means pretty. Cute Negro, all right? Negrito, little Negro, yes, all right? Spanish, but it doesn't sound the same. It's more that one. I remember my days between living in Old San Juan on Calle Sol, which is right in the middle of the whole thing. I remember traveling from the north side of the island, where it's where San Juan is at, to Guanica, where my other grandparents were at, mm-hmm. and you had to go over a road, you had to go over the mountains. It was a beautiful drive. It took 4 hours to drive from one side to the next. Now you can make it in less than 2 hours mm-hmm. because of Martin highways and things like this. All right. So my father was stationed in Fort Brooke at the time. He had served in Panama. He had protected the Panama Canal during World War II. And then he had come back to Puerto Rico, and he met up with my mother, who was just recently out of high school. My father was a sergeant, and then I was born. So my life was, and then my father's family, we had a lot of relatives. My mother's side didn't have that many relatives. But over at my father's side is where I found my most joy. I had a big house. I had a beach that was close to me. Water was very important to me on that aspect. So, yes, so my childhood was very, like I said, I got a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of attention during those times that were going on. Mm-hmm. Then we moved to Germany. My father got orders to Germany. Mm-hmm. And that was a rather shock. I mean, they say that the fundamental years, your first 12 years are your fundamental years, and anything that happens, good or bad, will affect you later on down the line. Mm-hmm. So, during the first 12 years of my life, I had to move six different times. All right, so there's a certain instability, and it just wasn't across the neighborhood or to a different apartment. I moved geographically. First place was Berlin, all right? And what do I remember about Berlin? It was cold. Mm-hmm. It was cold, but I loved it. I remember going out. My mother used to bundle me up as much as I can, and I wouldn't come back into the house until I was frozen, all right? Until I was really frozen. I was like 5 years old. In Berlin, I learned to ice skate. I learned to ride a bicycle, and I learned to swim in the Olympic pool in Berlin. All right, because if you know anything about Berlin was divided up into sectors mm-hmm. right after World War II. All right, and we lived in the American sector, and luckily for us, the Olympic pool and the Olympic arena was at in our side. So we had privileges or opportunities to go there and swim. And at 5 years old, I was swimming in the Olympic pool in Berlin.
Oh, wow.
Okay, it was very pleasant. We were treated like royalty. I remember we were going to church on Sundays. We had to get totally dressed up with a shirt and tie.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, we would go to the NCO club and have a tremendous meal. So we were treated like royalty. The Germans really loved us. They loved my brown skin. All right. They would always bring the guards, and then we even had a maid. She'd bring us chocolate and candies for us, my sister and I, that there in Germany. So it was a very positive experience when I went to Germany. After Germany, we moved back to Puerto Rico for a year, and I had to enter a school, which didn't go too well for me, because again, I've been adjusting. Then from Puerto Rico, my father got orders to Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Atlanta, Georgia, another geographical location, and he was stationed at Fort McCullen. Right now, that fort is where Tyler Perry's movie studio is at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I live right outside that studio. And Georgia for me was totally opposite of Germany. It was hot, okay, and we didn't get no attention at all. We were kind of isolated and left us alone. We lived in a white community, pretty much in a base housing for the people that worked aboard the base. And we had to go to a Catholic school in Atlanta, St. Anthony's. I did my first and second year there, grades at second, third, and fourth grade in Atlanta, St. Anthony. So again, there in Georgia, I call Georgia my Huckleberry Finn days. All right, because it was so hot in my house, I would be the first one out the house, and I was gone all day. I had a creek next to my house. I was playing. I was running, going into forest, running all up and down Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta.
Wow.
And get to that spike called I was lit. I'd come back when my that spike called I was lit. I'd come back when my father would whistle. My father had a whistle, all right, that he would call us. Call me and my friend, and I would come over and respond.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Georgia was, I went to school, did my first and second grade there. And and the other thing that happened there, my mother got to ride on the front of the bus.
Oh, wow.
Back in 1960, yeah. Because she spoke Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Her and a friend were gonna go downtown to Atlanta to get some hair products, and they got on the bus. And they're speaking, and they got to sit around in the front. The bus driver didn't object at all to them, even though my mother is like us. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Georgia. After Georgia, we go back to Puerto Rico. I do my third grade in Puerto Rico. So again, to a different geographical location, in not old San Juan, but somewhere in the vicinity, because he got stationed at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And I did another year of school down there. And then from there, he got orders to Seattle, Washington, or actually Tacoma, Washington, where Fort Lewis is at.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he got orders to the 4th Army Division, and there I did my fifth grade in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1962, my school was selected to go inaugurate the Seattle World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 1962, because his division was going to be sent to Vietnam. The whole division would be, and I was just at the start of the Vietnam War. But he didn't get to go to Vietnam because he was ready to retire, so he didn't go. He retired in Tacoma, Washington. Tacoma was fun. It was a different atmosphere. People were more congealed. There were more mix of people.
Mm-hmm.
I rode my bike every day to school, which was in the same pretty much a neighborhood that we lived in. It was a board base. I had a lot of positive experiences in Washington. I swam. I got to climb Mount Rainier, do things that, you know, that other people wouldn't even think, imagine. From Washington, my father retired.
Mm-hmm.
After 20 years of service, and he wanted to keep us in English-speaking countries or in America, so we moved to New York.
Okay.
Where we had family. A lot of his. I ended up going to Puerto Rico, and I did 4 years of my college, my undergraduate, at Inter-American University in San Germán, Puerto Rico. I did my bachelor's degree is in education, and I minored in history. Mm-hmm. My seminar in history was on the abolition of slavery in Puerto Rico. It was 1973 when I graduated from college. It had been 100 years since they abolished slavery in Puerto Rico. Even though all the other countries in the world had abolished slavery 20 years way before Puerto Rico did. Okay.
And so, like, with your, like, I'm guessing in your life, would you say that you've seen the world change tremendously? Or would you say that things now are not as different from what they were back then, if that makes sense?
Well, definitely the world has definitely changed. Mm-hmm. All right. It definitely changed. I mean, right here in Wilmington, it has changed. Mm-hmm. I moved down to Wilmington in 2015. In the last 10 years, this town has really grown.
Yes, sir.
Really, really grown and expanded. Currently, I am the precinct chair of the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. and I have one of the largest precincts in New Hanover County. Mm-hmm. My precinct covers from Gordon Road all the way up to Scotts Hill, along Market Street, cross over to Cape Fear Community College, back down to Laney High School, and then back over to Market Street.
That's awesome.
All right, I have this crazy highway dividing my precinct in half, and we only have one voting place. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing here lately on that one.
And how did you come across that position in determining that this is something that you wanted to do?
Well, I've always had like 5-year plans.
Right. Okay.
In my life, I would make 5-year plan. I'm gonna do this. I want to accomplish this in my 5 years. And then right before I retired, I had like a 10-year plan. I knew I was gonna retire 10 years before the date. That's why I keep telling you, don't never lose sight of that date.
Right.
All right. I don't know how, right? And that date happened to be when I turned 65.
Right. Yes,
okay. So that's you know you can't, it's unavoidable. You're gonna get older and you're gonna reach that date. Mm-hmm. And that's the date that you celebrate your accomplishment on that journey. Mm-hmm. That's my advice to you, because you made it. All right, you successfully made it on that aspect.
It's coming to an end, sadly. I have one more question that I want to ask you. What is, like, what advice can you give my generation? What advice would you give us?
All right, so my generation went to the moon.
Yes, sir.
Your generation is going to Mars.
Oh, wow.
Technology.
Yes, sir.
I think you guys got to master technology. Right now, like I said, I started in Marine Corps with communication, which is pretty much with the technology. A computer back in those days was the size of a room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where now we're wearing computers on our watches and all this, so we've come a long way from that time. Mm-hmm. So technology, know your technology thoroughly, stay motivated, stay fixed to where you're going to, what you want to accomplish, and there's always opportunities out there for you to grab a hold of it.
Yes.
But I think the most important thing that I want to really emphasize is the family values that you have, because that's about the only thing you have to fall back on. You can have friends, which are a dime a dozen, or you can have family that are worth millions. For life, they will never leave you. They will love you. And when they depart, you're saddened, and you remember all the bad things. So keep an eye on that. Take advantage of all opportunities. And again, you guys are going to Mars. Okay,
yes,
so technology in a new world, everything is unbelievable. Look at this, what we got going on here.
We're seeing
what's on. It's amazing. We don't got to meet in person. All the transaction now with this whole new thing with AI, mm-hmm. Taking over, you don't know who you're really talking to. So this is what you guys got to navigate. The world is growing. The United States is being tested. All right, the democracy and this republic is being tested, because this is an experiment in a new form of government.
Mm-hmm.
Civilizations prior to them getting great, all right, were ruled by one family, one individual, all right, and now we decide to have representations to decide how to protect us and how to care for us with our tax money.
Right.
So that's very important. This is what I say. But technology, to me, it's really ruining everybody. There's no more physical contact. There's no more outgoing. The pandemic didn't hurt. Mm-hmm. It really separated us even more mm-hmm. on that aspect.
I agree. And then we only have like 4 minutes left, so I have to close. But it was awesome talking to you and hearing about your experiences. I hope and I pray that my life is as eventful and successful as yours is. And thank you for your service. I respect you for all that you have accomplished. And thank you for taking the time out and talking with me.